It is the least commercialized of all of the national holidays. The stores cash in on Halloween and Christmas and Valentine's Day and Easter, but there's not much of a windfall for retailers on, you know, for Thanksgiving. As a result, we don't suffer a whole lot of Thanksgiving overkill. You know what I'm talking about with all of the other holidays, man. We're not expected to buy Thanksgiving candy or send Thanksgiving cards or pass out Thanksgiving gifts. There's no hot point in this holiday for advertisers to exploit. I'm sure as we speak, some are planning a way on, you know, Madison Avenue to work that out. But, you know, as of yet, it hasn't happened. As you know, the day after Thanksgiving kicks off the busiest time of the year for the shopping malls. It kicks off the busiest time of the year for most of us here in this room tonight. In the next 4 to 5 weeks, there will be gatherings to attend, shopping to finish, gifts to wrap, cookies to bake, cantatas and programs to go to, special services at church, visiting relatives, and on and on and on. For most of us, the next several weeks will be the most hectic days of the year. Am I right? I mean, right after Thanksgiving, through the end of the year, you know, you just don't stop. By the time January 1 rolls around, you're panting. You know, yeah, I'm glad that's over. So before the insanity begins on Friday, we have this brief respite tomorrow of a day to relax and to focus in on the good things that God has done for us. Now, although Thanksgiving is not really a religious holiday specifically, it is very spiritual and can be very uplifting because a thankful heart opens the door to God's blessings in each one of our lives. Am I right? So we need to approach it that way. Sir John Templeton, the billionaire investor who used to go... No, he didn't. The billionaire investor who was once asked, what is the secret of wealth? And he said, gratitude. If you're not grateful, you're not rich. Okay? And it's also, I think, the flip side of that. If you're grateful, you are rich, no matter how little or how much you have. Does that make sense? That's a grateful heart, man. If we're grateful, you know, then we're rich. So tonight, our life can become rich if we choose to be thankful for what we have. You see, we have a tendency, and I was thinking about what I wanted to share tonight, and again, we're going to just go for just a few moments here, but if you're visiting, that means nothing. I just want to let you know that. We just throw that out once in a while. It's not going to be very long, and then in an hour and a half, you're going to say, was that short for him? We have a tendency to rate our lives based on a scale of comparison with others, do we not? We compare ourselves with those who appear to be richer, fuller, more exciting, and their lives more exciting than ours. And many times, you know, admit it. Many times we feel shortchanged. We wonder why others have it so much better than we do. And so we try to adjust our lives we make decisions that are not consistent with the Word of God many times because we feel that we deserve more, we deserve to be happier, we deserve to have this, we deserve to be more fulfilled, and because we see people around us and they have more, so, you know, we kind of do that. But I want you to realize that's distorted thinking. I want us to understand that having a thankful heart is not about comparing ourselves with others. It's about recognizing and acknowledging what God has done in your life. And what we're going to do tonight is we're just going to look real quickly at a short psalm, Psalm 16. And in these few verses, David reminds us of some things that we can be thankful for if we concentrate on them. They'll help us to develop and maintain a thankful heart. Three things, 3 points, and that's it. Number one, acknowledge that God is the source of all good things in your life. Look at verse 2. You have it? Psalm 16. Look at verse 2. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. The book of James says, every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. All the good things you have in your life, you can thank God for. Let me just ask a question. How many of you here tonight have at least one good thing going on in your life right now? Anybody? At least one good thing. That's God's fault. Okay, that's God's fault. Every good thing you have to thank God for, because every good and every perfect gift comes from Him. It isn't because you're cool. It isn't because you've made right decisions. It isn't because you're something special. It's because God has chosen in His sovereignty to bless and give us good things. So we need to thank Him for every good thing. Professor and Christian psychologist Robert McGee, I was reading one time something about what he said, and he does an exercise with some of his clients and some of his patients, and he does what he calls a gratitude exercise. He gives his clients to help them recognize the goodness of God in every single detail of their life. He tells them, from the time you wake up till you leave for work, there are at least 100 things you can be thankful for. From the time you get up until you leave for work, at least 100 things you could be thankful for. And so what would that be? One of his students asked, he was teaching his class, give us some ideas. So he said things like, when you wake up, you can thank God that you slept in a bed. You had a pillow for your head, a blanket to keep you warm. You can thank God you slept under a roof and not under the elements. You can thank God that you have an alarm clock that helps you get up on time, that you have electricity to light and to heat your home. You can thank God that you have running water. You can thank God you have a refrigerator that keeps things cold and a stove to cook your food. You can thank God for your toothbrush, for your toothpaste, your deodorant, your soap. I thank God for a lot of people's deodorant. For your soap, your shampoo, your shower, your indoor plumbing. Do you get the idea? These are things that we typically take for granted. And we just shared that every good thing comes from God. So we can thank Him from the time we get up in the morning for every good thing that is happening that morning. There's heat in your house and it's cold outside. You slept that night. You had a bed to sleep in. And it goes on and on and on. But there is no question about it. These things make our lives better, and we can be thankful for them. These are God's good gifts to us. As we go through each day, there are literally, church, thousands of things that come across our path that we can be thankful for. We can thank God for a song that we enjoy listening to, a writer that we enjoy reading, a restaurant where we enjoy eating at, a park that we enjoy visiting. We can be thankful for all these things. And I haven't even got to the big stuff yet. Okay? We're not even to the biggies yet. That's just all the little stuff, man. How about big stuff like your spouse, your children, your parents, your friend, your job, and on and on and on. There are thousands of things that you enjoy, benefits that you have on a daily basis. And I want to tell you something, my friend. Each and every one of them are gifts from God. We have more to be thankful for than anybody on the face of this planet. Because you add to that eternal life and on and on and on. But we need to be thankful every day. We have a tendency to look at the negative stuff. And nobody that's here. It's the people that left for grandma's and they already left town. But, you know, those folk have a tendency to look at all the stuff that isn't going on. And their whole life is negative. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have this. I have the other thing. We need to change that and say, whoa, look at what I do have. Look at what I can be thankful for. Look at what God has done, man. There is nobody in this room who has starved to death. Anybody here ever starved to death? See, these are things that we can be thankful for. God has always supplied. Your life may not be what you've designed for it to be, but why don't you just give up and say, God, that doesn't make any difference. I just want my life to be what you want it to be. And I'll be thankful that you're in control. And until you let go and let God be in control, you're never going to be content. And your life is never going to be what he wants it to be and what it should be in the first place. So stop striving. Knock it off. You're making me mad. Our focus can't be on what we don't have or who has better than we do. Our focus must be on the good things that we do have in our lives, because every good thing in our life is from God. David is saying, every good thing comes from God, and without God, all these things are meaningless. Acknowledge God as the source of all the good things in your life. Number one. Number two, and there's only three. Number two, recognize the pleasant places in your life. Pick it up, verse 5. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. It's interesting that David said that, because if he wanted to, he could have complained about the lot in his life. David could have appeared on Oprah and talked about how horrible his life had been. Not a problem. He'd have got a booking immediately, man. I was the picked on kid in my family. None of my brothers liked me. None of my older brothers respected me. He could have said things like, when I was just a teenager, I was forced into battle with this vicious giant. I even had to pick up my own stones off the battlefield. I shouldn't have had to go fight in the battlefield. The army should have taken care of that. But they sent me out there. The government let me down. They should have protected me. And then on top of that, he would go on to say, that stinking king tried to kill me. So I spent years running and hiding because he was trying to kid me. My best friend was taken away from me. And this woman, this temptress, seduced me and enticed me to commit murder. That's not exactly the way it happened, but if he's on Oprah, that's the way he's going to tell it. Not going to blame himself, right? Okay. David could have ended his saga by saying, and eventually my own flesh and blood, my own son rebelled against me and tore my family apart. Oh, woe is me. All of those things happened in David's life. But many other things happened too. Good things, pleasant things. And those were the things that David focused on. He says, the pleasant places. He could have focused on all the garbage stuff. He could have focused on all the negative stuff. He could have focused on all the hurt and stuff and all the disappointing stuff. But he focused on the pleasant places. Anyone's life, if we had any one of you guys, you know, your life could be a tale of tragedy or a tale of victory. It depends on which story you want to tell. It depends on what you want to focus on. That's true for every one of us. It really is. It can be a life of victory or a life of tragedy, just depending on how you want to tell the story, man. Just like David, we have been assigned a portion in our cup. There are many things about our life we didn't get to choose. We didn't get to choose our parents, where we were born, our family ties, our looks, our talents, our intellectual capacities. We did not get to choose any of those things. They were all assigned to us. See, I don't know all the details of your life, but I do know this. There are areas of your life in which the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. And according to the psalmist, what you need to do is recognize the present pleasant places and thank God for them. There was one of the girls in Russia. We just talked to her this week. She was raised by an alcoholic mother. Her mother's been married several times. She was, the sociologist would say that she was very disadvantaged childhood. But she doesn't see it that way. Instead, she looks back on her life with gratitude as I've talked to her, and she says, I am so thankful that God allowed me to attend a wonderful Christian Bible school, Bible college, that taught me the value of hard work, discipline, and character. You can think of all the kids who have grown up with affluence, who's with both parents at home, who never learned the value of discipline, hard work, and character, and she had by what she'd gone through. Are you following me? See, we can look at what we go through and use it or have it destroy us, man. You know, get over it. Some of you guys need to get over some stuff of the past. Stop blaming your parents. Get them off the hook. All of your life you've been saying, if I'd have just had different parents, you probably wouldn't have made it anyway, you know. Okay. Come on, your parents did the best they could, all right? Maybe it wasn't all that great, but let them off the hook, man. It's your choice how you deal with it now. You can sit around and feel sorry for yourself, say, oh, my dad was such a jerk. Or you can say, I'm going to move on with Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to be a jerk to my kids. It's up to you, man. I'm so sick and tired of people coming to me and saying, you know, I was raised in a dysfunctional family. Who wasn't? Okay? I mean, that's just the way it is. But it's your choice on whether you move on or you don't. Well, I told you I was going to do this quick, and I lied. You can look at all of the things you don't have. You can look at all the disadvantages that have been thrust upon you. But that kind of thinking will only lead to misery. If I'd have just married somebody else. And if you keep thinking that, pretty soon you're miserable. Am I following you? Are you following me? Or am I following you? I don't know what's going on. It's this thing here, you know. Hello, come in. Get the total at the window. Acknowledge all the good gifts that God has given you. Okay. And then move on those things, man. And thirdly, look ahead to better days. David said in verse 6, look at this. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. He's saying, what the future holds for me is even better than what I have right now. In the Psalms, whenever David speaks of the future, he always speaks of it with optimism. 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Psalm 48:14, God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide to the end. Psalm 85:12, the Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. And then in today's text, verse 6, surely I have a delightful inheritance. And verse 11, you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. David is saying the best is yet to come. When you live with a thankful heart, it's easy to believe this. When your mindset is, I have so little, and everyone else has so much, it's very difficult to be optimistic about the future. But when you recognize that God has already blessed you so much more than you deserve, it's easy to believe that better days are ahead. Do you understand? He's blessed all of us beyond what we should be blessed. Am I right? We went on for 10 minutes here, and you guys were sharing things to be thankful for. And all the stuff we shared and that you talked about, we don't deserve any of that. The next breath I take is a gift from God. Just being alive is a gift from God. just having brothers and sisters like we have in this family is a gift from God, man. And we need to recognize that stuff and rejoice in those things. Get out of the poor me and all this kind. Get out of that. Just say, Jesus, hey, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. You know, I've been there so many times. I speak from where which I know. All right, I do. I have been the most, maybe not the most. I have been such a crybaby. I have been such a whiner. I have been a whiny child of God. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. You've never been like that. Okay, so judge me. I don't care. All right. God will get you for judging. But, you know, he thinks like for 30 years and I'm pastoring and I have a church. I have friends who have pastored for 30 minutes and have churches 10 times this size. And God, this isn't fair. And then I look around and say, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to ever sit and tell one person about Jesus Christ. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve to pastor that. I don't deserve to sit here tonight and tell you how wonderful Jesus is. It's God's grace that I'm able to be here. It's a gift that I want to be thankful. Are you understanding? When we understand that everything we have, and we're in such a society that, you know, we've been lied to, you deserve a break today. You don't deserve anything. And if you deserve anything, it certainly wouldn't be a Big Mac. But, you know, we're lied to, man. I can't tell you how many commercials I've seen in just the last week about giving her a diamond. You know, every kiss begins with K. So I go over and kiss my wife and say, that's it. You're not getting one of them things, man. But we leave the impression if we don't buy the diamond and we don't give her this thing that hangs and all these baubles that she deserves it. Well, yes, you do. But, you know, it's, and so we're built on that, we've built on that same concept in our relationship with God. All right? I deserve more. I deserve a better car. Look at that car that guy's driving. And he's not nearly as spiritual as I am. Look at the size of his Bible. Mine's twice that size. You know, I lift my hands higher, and we can go on and on and on. I deserve it. And so we're playing this game and think, I deserve more, I deserve more. For folks, what we deserve is what Jesus Christ took on the cross at Calvary. That's what we deserved. Everything else is a gift from God. So don't come whining to me because you don't like what God's doing in your life, man. I'll pray with you, but I'm not going to cut you any slack. Okay? I'm telling you, because he's given us abundantly above anything that we deserve, no matter what's going on, and we need to understand that. I have noticed that people who don't look forward to the future don't enjoy the present either. And neither do they appreciate the past. And having a thankful heart changes all of that. Having a thankful heart enables us to recognize God's presence in our life, past, present, and future. You know. Many years ago, and I won't give you the particulars of this story, but let's conclude with this story. But I was sitting with a group of guys right around Thanksgiving time. And one of the gentlemen in our group was dying of cancer. And we were just all sitting around, and one of the guys in the group was just complaining about things going on in his life and what he didn't have and what he wasn't happy about. It was going on and on and on. And finally, Steve spoke up and he said, Chuck, guys, you know what I'm thankful for? I said, what, man? He said, I thank God for everything. And I thought, whoa, that's it, man. Bottom line, that's it. I want to thank God for everything going on in my life, man. And we live with that kind of mentality, that kind of an awareness. People will be drawn to the kingdom of God through your life. You'll be a magnet. I mean, what do we have to offer as believers when we're walking around complaining all the time? Who's going to want to come to Jesus? I want what he has. Yeah. I want to be able to grumble like that guy. You know? He's really got it down. You know. I want to just live a lifestyle of thanksgiving and thankfulness for who he is. I've heard all of that tonight, Chuck, but you know, my life's falling apart. Are you born again? Are you saved? Then that's all you need to be thankful for. Man, if that's all that's going on in your life, baby, that's enough. You're no longer on your way to hell. You're on your way to eternity. And if you can't be thankful for that, you've lost what it means to be born again and know Jesus Christ. If that's all we have to be thankful for, my friend, that's enough. I've decided that if God never did another thing in my life, if he never answered another prayer, if he never met another need, and he will, because that's who he is, but if he didn't, I couldn't walk away from him because of what he's already done for me on the cross at Calvary. He took my sins, died in my stead, and handed me free and clear eternal life. No reservations, just eternal life. And he took my place. And then we get mad at God because we didn't get what we wanted. Oh, come on, man. He's done it all. He's already paid the price. And that's enough. Well, let's stand. So why don't you just try that exercise sometimes. Get up in the morning and just begin to thank him for just stuff, things, life, just all that's going on, man. Just begin to thank him. We leave here tonight, man. Just thank him. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at all the good stuff that he's done, man. Can we do Amazing Grace?
Sure. I have to do a cappella.
Yeah.
Amazing.